Morien, a medieval Dutch verse romance, translated by Jesse L. Weston. Part 2. So rode they all three together, till they came to a parting of the ways, where stood a fair cross, and thereon letters red as blood. Sir Gawain was learned in clerkly lore. He read the letters wherein was writ that here was the border of Arthur's land, and let any man who came to the cross, and who bore the name of knight, bethink him well, since he might not ride far without strife and conflict, and the finding of such adventures as might lightly turn to his harm, or even to his death. The land was of such customs. This did Sir Gawain tell to the twain. Then they saw, by the parting of the ways, a hermit's cell, fairly builded, and the knights bethought them that they would turn them thither, that they might hear and see, and know what the words boded. There saw they the hermit, who seemed to them a right good man, and they dismounted at his little window, and asked his tidings, if perchance a knight in red armor had passed that way. And the good man answered, and said, 'Twas but the other day, afore noon, that he had seen two knights, who were wondrous like unto each other. Of a truth it seemed to me, by their features and their gestures, that they should be brothers. Their steeds seemed beyond measure weary. They came that selfsame road that cometh from that land that men here call Britain. They were both in seeming men of might, and the one had steed and armor that were even red as blood. They dismounted, both of them, at the foot of that cross you see there. There many a judgment is given. There did a knight lose his life, he and his wife with him. Well did they deserve that their memory should be held in honor by the friends of our Lord, for they made a right good ending. They had sought the shrine of a saint. With them they had money and steeds, besides other goods, as befitted folk of high degree. Here did they fall in with a company of robbers, who slew the good knight, and took his steed and his money and all that he had. Of this was his wife so sorrowful, that for grief and woe her heart broke. And so did they die here, the twain of them, even at the crossroads where ye see the fair cross, where now many a judgment is spoken. 'Twas made through the knight's will. Hither come folk stripped and barefoot, doing penance for their sins. And they who pass, a horse or a foot, have here had many a prayer granted. The knights of whom ye ask did there their orisons, as well became them. But I may not tell ye whither they went at their departing. In sooth, I know not, for I said my prayers here within, and forgot them. But they were tall and strong, and the one wore red armor, and the other bore the badge of King Arthur. Then were the knights sorely grieved, and kindled as a coal for sorrow, in that they might not know by any craft whitherward they rode. Then they asked the manner of the land, and whither led the roads which they saw before them. Then answered the good hermit, "I will tell ye as best I may. The road by which ye came, that do ye know, and the road that runneth straight therefrom that will ye shun, if ye heed my counsel. 'Tis a land of ill fame, where men follow evil customs. Their best is but others' worst. He who will keep his horse, his weapons, and his life, will shun that road. And the right-hand way goeth to a wild wasteland, wherein no man dwelleth. If I bethink me well, 'tis over a year and a day since I saw man or woman come from thence. If it so befall that you fare thitherward, ye shall find such a marvel that ye, would ye dare the venture and amend the wrong, it shall cost ye life and limb, that do I tell ye here. For there shall ye find the most fell beast ever man heard or read of. Take ye good heed thereof. 'Tis the foul fiend himself, that know I well, that roameth in the guise of a beast. Against him may no weapon serve, There was never spear so sharp nor sword so well tempered, as I know of a truth, that may harm that devil, but it will break or bend, as hath full oft been proven in time past. Now hath the beast chosen his dwelling in a little forest. There will he abide all night, but the day he prowleth by straight and winding ways. He devoureth men and beast alike, nor may I tell ye the marvels I have heard concerning him. He hath laid waste a broad land, and driven thereout all the country folk, so that none remain. Now have I told ye the truth concerning these two roads, and what may befall ye therein. For the third, it leadeth hereby to the sea coast. I know not what I may say more. Quoth Sir Lancelot, By the Lord who made me, Sir Gawain, we must needs depart from each other here and now, would we find these knights. And I will dare that which I deem the most perilous venture. Ye shall ride straightway whichever road ye will. Otherwise shall we lose the knights who were lately here. They shall not have ridden far as yet. And if it be that ye find them, then I charge and conjure ye, by my will and your valour, that if ye may, ye shall bring them with ye and return hither to this place. Do this, Sir Knight, by my prayer. For my prayer. And do the hermit, to wit, how matters have gone with ye, that he may tell me the truth thereof, if peradventure I too come hither. And the knight shall go with ye, and God keep ye both, since we be now come to this point. Do him honour as a good man and true, in whatsoever place ye may be. This I pray ye of your valour. Sir Gawain gave him answer. Dear comrade, I am fain to do your bidding, and may God keep us in life and limb, and in worldly honour. Now choose ye first which road ye will take, for here will we abide no longer. Then said Sir Lancelot, I ween that 'tis the most pressing need to go fight against the beast whereof the good man telleth us. Methinks 'twere well that I ride thither. And the hermit answered, Alas, Sir Knight, ye be so fair that I deem below the throne one might scarce find your equal. And will ye brave a venture which no man may achieve? The folk hath fled out of the land. None may withstand that beast. No shaft is so fell as the venom which he shooteth on all who near him. And the man whom it reacheth, and upon whom it shall light, I am he who lieth not, he dieth ere the third day be past, had he never a wound upon him. This hath been the worst for many. Then is the beast greater than a horse, and runneth more swiftly than any horse may. Ye are wise if ye shun the fiend. This do I tell ye beforehand. Had he not chosen his lair, and did he wander from the land, as well might be, by the Lord who made us he had laid the world waste. Ye would do well to turn back. But 'twas labor lost. Not for all the riches that belonged to King Arthur would he have taken back his word and his covenant, for any prayer that might be made him, nor have yielded anything through fear. Then would the knights take leave of each other, that they might depart. The Moor spake to the twain, For what do ye take me? Am I a lesser or weaker man than either of ye, that Sir Gawain must needs ride with me? I will not have it so. There is no knight so bold, but I dare well withstand him. I know well what is unfitting. Now, say whither ye will betake ye, and send me what road ye will. I will dare the venture, be it never so perilous. By my knighthood, and by all who follow Christendom, I shall adventure alone and take that which may chance. Then said Sir Gawain, It liketh me ill that ye swore such an oath. But, since such is your will, take ye the road that leadeth to the sea. This seemeth to me the best. Ride swiftly and spare not, but seek your father. and do in all things after my counsel. If any man meet ye, when ye have given him courteous greeting, ask him if he saw riding, or otherwise met with, two knights, one of whom wore red armor, and the other bore King Arthur's badge. This shall ye first beseech of them. When ye come to the crossing, pray that men tell ye the truth, and ask for the seacoast withal, wherever ye come. And if so be that men understand ye not, then return straightway to this place, and follow the road which I shall take, swiftly and with no delay. We might lightly depart so far from each other that we met not again. But follow me soon, and not too late, and do according as I counsel ye, and I tell ye truly, no harm shall befall ye. The Moor spoke, God reward ye. Then took they leave each of the other, and departed asunder. Now will I tell ye how it fared with Sir Gawain. The adventure telleth us forthwith that when prime was now already past, Sir Gawain came to a wide and deep river. 'Twas a great stream and deep, and the current ran swift and strong. Then Sir Gawain marked well, and took heed, how on the further side, in a land of which he knew nothing, there came a knight riding on a fair steed, and armed as if for combat. Before him he drove captive a maiden. Sir Gawain beheld how he smote her many a time and oft, blow upon blow, with his fist that weighed heavily for the mailed gauntlet that he wore. Pain enough did he make her bear for that she desired not to ride with him. He smote her many a time and oft with his shield, as he would revenge himself upon her in unseemly fashion. The maiden wore a robe of green silk that was rent in many places. 'Twas the cruel knight that had wrought the mischief. She rode a sorry hack, barebacked, and her matchless hair, which was yellow as silk, hung even to the horse's croup. But in sooth she had lost well nigh the half thereof, which that fell knight had afore torn out. 'Twas past belief the maiden's sorrow and shame, how she scarce might bear to be smitten by the cruel knight. She wept and wrung her hands. This Sir Gawain beheld, and he deemed 'twere shame if he avenged not her wrong. He looked before and behind, and saw no bridge, great or small, by which he might cross over, nor saw he living soul of whom he might ask. Then he did he delay no longer, but turned his bridle, and set his horse toward the river bank. He struck his spurs sharply, and sprang into the middle of the stream. The good steed breasted the current, swimming as best it might, and brought its master to the further side. 'Twas great marvel that they were not drowned, horse and man, for the river was deep, and the stream ran swiftly. When Sir Gawain came to the other side of the river, which was both wide and deep, then saw he a great company of folk riding after the knight, who bore away the maiden by force, and thus misused her. But he wist not if it were to aid the knight that they thus followed him, or to wreak vengeance on him. He saw many men clad in hauberks, but they were as yet a good mile distance. Sir Gawain rode swiftly after the maiden who went afore, whom the knight thus mishandled, to avenge her wrong. And as he drew near so that she might see him, she smote her hands together more than before, and cried to Gawain, Noble knight, for the honor of womanhood, save me! This knight doeth me undeserved shame. Did there come hither any friend of God who would help me in this my need? If he had slain his own father, it should be forgiven him. Her prayers and entreaties, her tears and lamentations, would have stirred any man to pity. She cried upon Sir Gawain as he came riding into the plain to come to her aid and fell the knight's pride. As Sir Gawain heard her, his heart was rent with sorrow and compassion, and he spoke to that evil knight. Sir knight, says 'tis folly and discourtesy that which ye do to this maiden. Were ye wise, ye would forbear. Even had the maiden wronged ye should deal courteously. He hath small honor who thus smiteth a maiden. then said the cruel knight. For ye, fool and meddler, whether ye be knight or no, will I not stay my hand. Nay, rather for your shame, will I chastise her the more. And should ye but speak another word to her, I shall thrust ye straightway from your steed with my spear. Quoth Sir Gawain, then were I but a foot, Sir Knight. Nevertheless, I counsel ye, if ye be wise, that ye spare the maiden. Ye will find me not so craven this day as to let ye harm her. I shall defend her, and avenge her wrong, if my life be risked upon it. But, Sir Knight, hearken to my prayer, for God, and for your honor, and for the sake of knighthood. But that evil knight answered and said he would in no wise do this. If ye get not hence and fly, by heaven, it shall be your doomsday. I have no need of your sermons. Quoth Sir Gawain, if ye be so bold, lay but your hand again upon her, and I shall take so stern a pledge as, wist ye, shall dismay your heart if it cost me my life. Let the maiden go in peace, or be on your guard against my spear. For I defy ye. The other was high and scornful that Sir Gawain so threatened him. He thought to quell his pride and rode against him straightway, and Sir Gawain on his side did even the same. They came together so keenly that both spears broke, and the crash might be heard afar. They came together so swiftly that the knight was thrust from his saddle and fell to the ground, and he fell so heavily that he felt the smart in every limb and lay in anguish from the fall. So stayed he prone upon the ground. Sir Gawain took the horse whereon the knight had ridden. He forgot not his courtesy, but gave it into the hand of the maiden and drew forth his good sword. Therewith was the knight come to himself, and had taken his sword, and stood up as best he might. Evil was his thought, and he cried, "Vassal, how are ye so bold as to do me this hurt and this shame? My father is lord of this land, and after him shall it be mine. Think not to escape. 'Tis folly that which ye do. Even today shall ye be repaid by those who follow me, and chastised in such wise as ye would not have for all the riches King Arthur holds, or ne'er may hold. My men will be here anon, and ye shall not escape, for in this land hath no man power or might to withstand me." Sir Gawain spoke, "That may I well believe, and therefore are ye so cruel and so outrageous. That one who is noble of birth and rich withal should be false of heart. By my troth, 'tis great pity, and bringeth many to shame. Now ye are not yet at such a pass, but that I may teach ye moderation ere ye part from me. Methinks that today ye shall rue the evil ye have done. I counsel ye, if ye be wise, that ye make known to me wherein this lady hath wronged ye. Hath she indeed deserved that ye be thus cruel? Then 'tis a matter betwixt ye twain. I meddle no further. But hath the maiden not deserved this? Then hold your hand, and make peace with me. Otherwise is your life forfeit, were ye never so highly born. I take the maiden with me when I ride hence." The knight would not hearken, and the maiden spake, "Noble knight, I will tell ye wherefore he doeth me this wrong. He would have me for his love. Why should I deny the truth? 'Tis many a day since he first spoke to me, but I would not hearken to him. Other sorrows vexed me. Poverty grieveth me sore. Thereto have I griefs that I may not lightly tell. My father was a knight, and a good man, and of high birth in this land. Dear Sir Knight, I will tell thee openly, though it be shame. My father hath lain sick 7 year long, and hath lost his goods, and now lieth in sore straits. He may neither ride nor walk nor stand upon his feet. He suffereth much. Now have I nursed and tended and otherwise served my father. Friends hath he few, save myself. And I had fain stayed by him and kept him all my life, doing for him all that within me lay. Today came this knight within our hold, which is sore broken down and ruined, and hath done me sore wrong. He took me thence by force, ere I was well aware, nor stayed his hand for God or man. Thus did he carry me away, and now he doeth me this shame. He hath left his folk behind, that they may hinder my friends, lest they follow him to his hurt. I fear lest they be here anon, and should they find ye here, ye may scarce escape. Would ye save your life, then, Sir Knight, make a swift end of this combat. I fear it dureth over long, if ye will aid me by our Lord's grace. So bethink ye, Sir Knight, what ye may do. Quoth Sir Gawain, "An ye be wise, Sir Knight, ye will now speak. Here will I tarry no longer. Will ye right this maiden of the wrong ye have done her, or fight with me? The one or the other must ye do. If ye will, I will alight and meet ye afoot, or ye may mount your steed again, by covenant that ye flee not, nor escape, but abide your fortune." The knight made answer, "Now do ye hold me over feeble, if ye think I shall thus yield. Ye will do well to dismount straightway, if ye have lust of fight." He covered himself with his shield and drew forth his sword from the scabbard. Sir Gawain dismounted, whether he liked it well or ill, and let his horse, that men called the Gringalet, stand beside him. Never a foot would that steed stir till its lord came, and once more laid hand upon it. Forthwith they betook them to fight, and dealt each other fierce thrusts with mighty and strong strokes, so that one saw their blood stream out through the mails of their hauberk, and the sparks sprang out when the helmets were smitten, till they seemed to glow, even as doth hot iron when it be thrust into the furnace, and waxeth red from the fire. So fierce were the blows which each dealt to the other. That which most sorely vexed Sir Gawain was that his sword scarce seemed worth a groat. The knight's armor was so good that Sir Gawain's weapon was stayed upon it. Though one saw the blood well through, yet had the hauberk never a score. This Sir Gawain deemed a great marvel. He fetched a mighty blow upward and smote the knight above the hauberk, in the neck, to the very middle of the throat. Therewith was the matter ended for him. His head fell forward upon his breast, and he fell dead beneath the blow. His friends and kinsmen had beheld from afar, and came therewith, sore distressed and very wroth, when they saw their lord thus lying dead upon the field. Sir Gawain, the good and the valiant, was once more mounted upon Gringalet. There might he fear no foe. The steed was so strong and so great, and even as his lord had need, would the horse watch and follow every sign that he might give. Those who had come thither, and had, as it were, found Sir Gawain in the very act of slaying, were of one mind that they should beset him, behind and afore, on horse and afoot, and, if it might be, take his life. And Sir Gawain, who saw that he was sore beset, commended himself to the grace of God with a good heart, and received his foes with drawn sword. With each blow that he smote, he wounded one or two, and wrought them much harm. None might withstand him, and he that wrought the most valiantly, he abode there dead, or went hence so sorely wounded that he might never more find healing. Thus Gawain, the father of adventure, so daunted them with the blows that he smote, that many drew aside and turned from the strife with deep wounds and wide. 'Twas a good cause for which Sir Gawain fought, and for which he desired vengeance, and for that did it fall to his profit. He brought many of them in sore stress, some of life, some of limb. With that there came riding a company of the maiden's folk, who were fain to avenge her shame. So soon as she beheld them and they drew nigh, was she glad and blithe, and drew aside from the strife where Sir Gawain did right manfully. The maiden turned to her own folk, and betook her with that company again to her father. They were right joyful that she was once more in their power, and they left Sir Gawain on the field, where he was sore beset. They durst not take part with him against their overlord, so greatly did they fear his kin. But Sir Gawain, who marked this not, went smiting blow after blow on all that came nigh him, and so blinded and drove them backward with his strokes that he was left alone on the field. So weary and so weak were they that they lay all along the road, discomfited, prone on the earth, as those who have sore need of rest. But few of them were whole, for Sir Gawain had so wounded them that men may well tell the tale from now even unto doomsday. Then thought Sir Gawain within himself, since he had so long wielded his weapons, and no man durst withstand him further, he might find no better counsel than to fare on his way. He thanked God of true heart that he had thus won honor on this evil folk, and that he had escaped with his life, and free from mortal wound, he and his steed, and that God had thus protected them. Men say oft, and 'tis true, as was here well proven, that he who recks not of his ways, but doeth that which is displeasing alike to God and to the world, he was born in an evil hour. Now, when Sir Gawain had won the fight, and God had shown him favor by granting him good knighthood and the discomfiting of his foes, the day was well past noons, and Sir Gawain, the bold, had neither eaten nor drunk nor done anything save fight that day and receive great blows. He rode on his way, sore perplexed and unknowing where he might seek for lodging. So long did he ride that he was aware how it drew towards evening, and therewith did he behold a castle. Never was a man more oppressed with hunger and thirst and weariness, and he thought in his heart that he could do nothing better than ride thither, and see if, by hap, he might find lodging for the night. He found by the castle moat the lord of that burg, and many of his folk with him. When he had dismounted on the turf, he greeted them courteously, and the lord answered, "God reward ye." Quoth Sir Gawain, "Were it your command and your will and pleasure, right gladly would I abide here within this night. I know not otherwise how I may win shelter. I have ridden all this day, and have seen nothing save wilderness and wasteland, and there found I no man with whom I might abide the night." And the host spoke, "So may good befall me in soul and body, as I shall give to you in friendship, even to the uttermost, all that belongeth unto this even. Lodging will I give ye, and food, ham and venison. My lodging is ever free, and ne'er refused to any knight who would fain be my guest. He hath safe conduct, good and sure, against all whom he may meet in this land. Were it against mine own son, whom I love above all who own the laws of knighthood. My safe conduct is so well assured that whosoe'er should wrong my guest, it should cost him his life and all that he had, had he not more than good fortune. This on my knighthood, and by the blessed maid, Our Lady." But Sir Gawain, the father of adventure, who was wont to be received with honor, wist not that the knight whom he had slain was son to the lord of the castle. End of part 2 of The Romance of Morienne.